Well, Alec, a lot of local action over the weekend, Pro 12 action as well. We'll start maybe with some news on the international front, which has been filtering through since this morning, and it's a couple of injury problems for Ireland ahead of the next two matches in the Six Nations. Ulster's Andrew Trumbull is one of those because he suffered a hand injury in the Pro 12 on a Treviso on a Friday night, and alongside Alton Dolan, they're set to miss the remaining two games for Ireland in the competition, which is disappointing, particularly from Trumbull's point of view.
It's been a pretty horrendous time for Trumbull. I mean, having got back a couple of seasons ago to a form that's, you know, made him one of the best wingers, and the frustration really will be that you know, he's only had half an international really at the moment, and you can't really put your case forward very much to Warren Gatland as far as the Lions selection goes, because, you know, there are a lot of wingers about, but they still need it. You know, they still probably have to take quite a number, and it's one of the frustrating things for him again, because I would have thought, you know, he must have been in the van for against Wales, especially with George North, the big wingers, because you need a defensive player. Dolan again is a big loss as well, probably to, as much to Connacht, because he's been one of the key boys for them. And, you know, he's in a position where you never know. I mean, injuries can happen so quickly in the sport that he might have had an opportunity in the next two games. But thankfully, unlike years ago, I've seen that Ireland now have a plethora of substitutes to call on, you know. But for the two players mentioned, that's very disappointing for them.
And Tommy Bow added once again to the squad for the match against the Welsh next Friday.
Yeah, well, Tommy's had has been lucky enough. I mean, I don't mean that in the wrong sense. Nobody would ever decry what Bo has achieved in his career, but I think it's fair to say that he's coming towards the end of that career. But, you know, if he gets an opportunity, who knows? If he gets an opportunity against the Welsh or even against England in a couple of weeks' time, he's a match winner and always has been, and I'm sure he'll take it with both hands.
Yeah, let's go to the local action then, Alec, from yesterday. Our feature game as Rugby Championship 1, we followed Omagh's exploits yesterday afternoon. Big top of the table clash. Ballyclare were the opposition, and Ballyclare came to Omagh and they took victory. They had 4 on it in the end, 21-17. The visitors deserve the one, having been 5 points down at one stage in that game.
I think you have to say, to be honest with you, Oisín, that over the second half, really Ballyclare had the majority of possession and territory, and they really did put Omagh under the cosh, and only tremendous defence by Omagh kept them out for so long, and very little in the game. But I should say, I did mention yesterday that, you know, because, you know, I've been watching rugby all season and over the last X number of years, but I have to say yesterday's game, Oisín, was as enjoyable a game as I have watched for a long, long time. The level of commitment to start with, but both sides, you can see why they're top of this championship one, which is no mean league, I can assure you, because there's a lot of AIL teams which struggle to last with those two sides yesterday. The technical skills of both sets of forwards was tremendous, and especially at the breakdown. The clear out was superb, the quick rock ball to the scrum halves, and both had a set of backs who were prepared to run and take on their opposite numbers. And I have to say, overall, it was a great game of rugby to watch, and at the end of the day, Omagh will have been slightly disappointed, but, you know, they did contribute to what was a tremendous game. It now means that both sides have 2 games left. Omagh are 2 points ahead of Ballyclare. They play Cook and Cook and Carrick. But if you look at the other one, Dunstonians, who are 3rd at the moment, they are 7 points behind Omagh, but they have a game in hand. But one of those last 2 games which Ballyclare have is Dunstonians, who will still be fancying their chances. So at this moment in time, it's hard to say, but should Omagh win those 2 games, then they will certainly be crowned champions. But it's going to be difficult. Ballyclare have a big game against Dunstonians, although the way they played yesterday in the second half, I mean, I think they're capable of anything. But it sets it up, you know, Oisín, for a great finish to that championship one. And of course, whoever comes out top of that will then go on to the round robin playoffs against their counterparts from the other 3 provinces. And it'll be lovely to see Omagh get there. I should also add in their joining pitch at their seconds, beat Ballinahinch by, I think, I'll get the score for you in a second, but that meant that they won Junior 1. And, you know, when your first and seconds are winning leagues, or, well, your seconds have won the league, and when your first are very much in contention, it shows the strength and depth that they have. In Oma, it actually was Oma 24, Hinch 15. So congratulations to the Oma club, because it certainly has been a great season.
It certainly has, and hopefully they can make it through and go to All-Ireland League Rugby. Speaking of All-Ireland action, City of Derry away from home yesterday against Wanderers, heading into the game. The last time Derry were beat was the 3rd of December, if I'm right in saying, Alec, towards the end of last year. They won 5 on the bounce, but it wasn't to be yesterday on the road in Division 2B.
No, William, Wanderers are one of those sides that, I mean, the final score 20 points to 11. It was 10-8 at half-time. Ian Bratton had got a try for Derry. They were obviously playing in the back pitch at the Aviva, and I'm sure the players were delighted to be in the changing rooms of all the stars who will be there in a fortnight's time. But just, I think, a wee bit too much. I was talking to a couple of players this morning, and I think there was a try, but Joe Dunleavy was disallowed when it looked as if he had got over the line, and then there was another decision which I think didn't go Derry's way. But I mean, they were just saying that's how it goes. They had an opportunity, I believe, with 2 minutes to go, to kick a penalty and to get an illusion bonus point, which, you know, at this time of the season could be very, very important. So let's hope that didn't make a difference. But they now have 4 games left, Oisín. At the moment they're lying, they're third bottom. Beckwith and Thomond are below them. They have 4 games at home. They have 2 games at home. They play Greystones and Armagh, the 2 top sides at home. Now, those will not be easy games whatsoever. Then they're away to Thomond, who are lying second or third from bottom, and Skerries in the last game of the season on the 15th of April. And, you know, hopefully that by that stage they may have picked up a few more points, because the last place you want to be going is down to Skerries for a sort of winner-take-all. And, of course, remember that the bottom side is automatically relegated, but the second bottom side has then to go on and play the team from the Division 2C. So it's no easy thing, but hopefully that Derry might pick up something. But certainly those Skerries and Armagh games at Judges Road, those are not going to be easy. And the Thomond game away and the Skerries game away hopefully will give them a bit of a banker in that one.
Yeah, All-Ireland League Division 2C, Rennie beat yesterday before against Sligo. Sligo to go top, 17-13 was the final score, Alec. But moving on to Championship 3, a sort of a mixed afternoon for the North West sides. Strabane were beat, but Letterkenny had a convincing one.
Letterkenny have had a great resurgence, over the last since the new year, and I mean that was a good result yesterday. Belfast High School are always a pretty formidable side, and certainly 26-0 as an excellent result. And you know that when you look at the table now, I mean Letterkenny have won, I think, half of the games they've played, and that for a young side will give them a lot of confidence. I mean, they're mid-table and 40 odd points from the games they've played. They get another a bonus point from yesterday. The other game, as you said, Lurgan. Strabane went to Lurgan, but Lurgan is the best, the strongest side in that competition, 21-3, and that was probably a very good performance by Strabane, judging by the way Lurgan have been going through other sides. But again, Strabane, you know, with their new coach, they're land fourth in that league, and both Letterkenny and Strabane, the players will have had a lot of satisfaction out of this season, Oisín, because, you know, they're winning more games than they're losing, but they're also competing very well in a lot of games, and any games they're losing, it's pretty gnarly, so it does give a great impetus for both sides. 3 more games to play, you know, but next year then an opportunity to build on that one, because the likes of Lurgan will have moved up a league.
Yeah, just briefly, Alec, on the Pro 12 front, all the Irish provinces winning over the weekend, but Leinster and Munster continuing to push at the top of the standings. Leinster remaining 2 clear of the Ospreys, and Munster 3rd, still in touch, just a point behind the Ospreys.
Yeah, well, I mean, I have to say, Oisín, having weathered the conditions on Friday night at the Kingspan, it was not a great performance by Ulster. They won the game, but they should have had another try to get a losing bonus point. But I suppose as it stands at this moment in time, they're only a point behind the Scarlets in 4th place, and they have a game in hand, which they'll be playing next Saturday against one of the Italian sides. But for me, I watched the Munster game on Friday night. The Blues were well in the game until about the last 20 minutes, but then Munster once again, their forwards decided to take the game on, and they won that one. As you said, Connacht had that result at Treviso, getting a losing or winning bonus point. But Connacht may still struggle, you know, to get into that position for Champions Cup. But for me, the outstanding performance was last night. I watched that Leinster game against the Scarlets. Scarlets was the game. At one stage, it was only, I think it was 11-9. But there was a 20-minute period in the second half where it was just massed destruction. I mean, Leinster just scored from whenever they wanted and wanted to do. And of all the sides in the Pro 12 at the moment, you have to say that Leinster, if they stay clear injuries in the Champions Cup, Leinster could well do the double this year, both the Champions Cup and the Pro 12, because with the strength and depth they have, Oisín, and the way they're playing at the moment, I don't see anybody else that's going to compete with them.
Okay, Alec, many thanks for joining us this afternoon to, as we always do at the weekend, talk all things rugby. And Alec, of course, will be back with more coverage from action from the Northwest next weekend.